Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And Dell today, and very excited to be joined by the Rockets general manager, Rafael Stone, live from Las Vegas as we get a catch up on Jalen Green, the Summer League, the team build out. And first of all, Rafael, welcome to the show. I just want to say congratulations. Didn't get a chance to talk to you after the draft, but congratulations on what appears to be a very exciting draft for the organization.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We're definitely excited. It's always nice to have young, talented guys, and we ended up with a lot of them. Maybe a little more than we expected as things played out, and so yeah, we're excited.
So let me go back to the draft and draft day for a second, because I'm curious. This was a draft that a lot of people said had, you know, at first they said the top five are as deep as and talented as any top five for years and years. And was that do you think that, I know your guy, Jalen Green, looks really, really good. I like Cade Cunningham, but you studied these guys very, very closely. Did you have that same feeling? You've been with the Rockets for a while. You've done this job, you know, the evaluation stuff and been part of studying drafts at least. What was your thought about this draft headed into it and its depth?
Yeah, I do think that at the very top that there were a number of guys who in kind of a normal year, there's never a normal year, but leaving that aside, in a normal year that there were a number of guys that would typically have been drafted number one, or you'd be very happy to draft number one, and so that doesn't happen in every year, and I do think that was the case for this particular draft.
And then what about when it came to Jalen Green, when the process of taking a look, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there that the Rockets wanted to move up to one, and there was Cade Cunningham this and Cade Cunningham that. But ultimately, you guys sat at number two and drafted a player who, boy, is unbelievably explosive. I mean, can get off the bounce and get to the hole, and has that nice step back to where he can create space for himself. I mean, just an explosive, explosive talent. What does the ceiling look like for a player like Jalen Green in your estimation?
Yeah, I mean, Jalen doesn't have a ceiling. He's, first of all, obviously when you draft somebody, you don't know them. You spend as much time as you can with them pre-draft. That ends up functionally being, you know, 36 hours or something. So the last couple of weeks have been really instructive for me in terms of who Jalen is, what he's about. You know, it's early and he's young, but we couldn't be happier. He's really just a nice guy and very much fits with, I think, culture that we currently have and that we're trying to build on, you know, about basketball supposed to be fun, and you're supposed to enjoy your time here. You're supposed to enjoy your teammates. But when it's time to step on the court, whether that is a practice or a game or just an individual workout, it's all about the grind. It's really, really embracing, you know, trying to get better each and every single day. And, at least thus far, that's him to the T. So, you know, we're really, really excited about him. And there just aren't very many people who are as athletic as Jalen, just naturally. And so the end result is, you know, I think we're all going to figure out how good he can be. And if he keeps this attitude, and if he just stays on the grind, you know, I certainly would not want to limit him.
You mentioned earlier being a bit surprised by the number of picks you had and the number of first-rounders that were selected. Now, you have, if this list is correct, there's 14 players under contract. That doesn't even include Usman Garuba, who will come over soon. Do you anticipate having all four first rounders on the opening night roster?
Oh yeah, we do.
So the other thing we had discussed going forward, at least earlier in the show, was potentially minutes distributed, because you have veteran guys on your roster who play the guard positions, and you seem to be loaded there. If you look at the three guys, we talk about Jalen quite a bit, but you had Josh Christopher, who's been impressive as well in the early summer league. Has there been any consideration about how minutes will be distributed? Is that something that's going to be discussed later on?
Yeah, that's really a discussion for the regular, not even like the preseason, really the regular season and just going. I mean, I think I'm sure the coaching staff is already, you know, thinking about it and planning for it and everything else. That you know, the minutes allocation is certainly Stephen's purview, not mine. But and just to be clear, because maybe there's a little bit of a difference. Like, you have to, you know, the only way you can't roster a first round pick is if they choose to play someplace else, like playing overseas, and you don't ever actually sign them to a contract. So they have to be on your 15-man roster, but they can bounce back and forth to the G League. If they're not giving enough minutes, they can go down and get a quick game in or something like that. So there are definitely things you can do with younger players to make sure that they're improving. But definitely all four of those guys will be on our opening day roster.
You know, you said something that's really I'm a big fan of team building, and you're at the I feel like the Rockets were able to tear it down near the studs, and you get a rebuild. So I'm really excited and interested to see how you go about doing this. But you mentioned culture, and you want basketball to be fun. You want it to be enjoyable, but you also want them to be about ball. When it's time to be about ball, be about ball. And I think that's exciting for everyone to hear that. What I am interested in, though, is as somebody who really thought very highly of Daryl Morey, I thought Daryl did a phenomenal job. The one area that I always had some concern about, and I think this can be the case with sometimes with analytics guys, is I didn't always feel like he had a great feel of chemistry in the locker room and how guys interacted with each other and what that could mean, the interpersonal relationships moving forward with the team. So I want to bring this up to you. In terms of team chemistry in the locker room and how guys fit with each other, how important is that to you relative to the basketball side?
You know, I use culture because I think it is slightly different than chemistry to me. Functionally, you know, all it really is who people are. And so every time somebody leaves and somebody else comes in, you're changing your culture, you're changing your chemistry. And we, all of us, I'm assuming you included, we're all really, really bad at predicting how that's going to play out.
Right.
And so, so it's not something, and that's why when people talk about chemistry, at least for me, I tend to not engage there, because it's not something that I can predict. Oh, these two guys, their style of play, you know, is very complementary, so then they're going to play well together. Well, that doesn't always happen. They may not like each other, and there's so many more things that go into it. And how do you predict if some people who don't know each other are going to like each other? And just it goes on and on and on. And so, and then also, it's for sure the case that in basketball, you know, if you have really, really talented players, they actually just make each other better if they want to. It's not the case that, like, there's only one ball and people can't survive and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, if you're really good at the game and you see the game faster than everybody on a more sophisticated level, you and two or three of your teammates do too, the game just becomes easier and you can do additional stuff. And I think you've seen with some of these teams that have aggregated players who were individual superstars, they play together, and then, you know, whether in year one or year two or year three, they win championships. And you know, it turns out that sharing the ball isn't the ginormous issue that everybody thought it was. And then there have been times when it's failed, but to me, that's usually because either the people involved weren't maybe as good as everybody thought they were in the first place, or there was injuries or something else. You know, I think really talented players make each other better. So anyway, coming all the way back to chemistry, you know, I think, you know, we'll try and figure that out, but culture and how we all approach it, I think, is a little different. And that's something particularly with younger players that I think that you grow and you can grow together. And so that is an area of emphasis for us.
are there things you're pointing to for this upcoming season that you can say, okay, that makes a successful year, or is that still developing?
Yeah, no, I don't. It's actually one of the, you know, we've talked about this, not really with our players, but a little bit in the front office that, yeah, it's a little bit nice. It for sure was championship or bust the last, you know, however many years, and that was appropriate. That was the right attitude, the right goal for that team, for those collection of players and coaches and everything else. And we're in a different position where, you know, we can find success and we can find growth, even if that ultimate goal isn't achieved. And so, in that sense, I think, you know, getting back to having fun, I think it actually makes the goal of having fun more achievable and easier. And so, you know, I do think we're all committed to finding victories where we find them and setting little goals as a group to try and accomplish them and enjoying the process of getting better and growing as a group. You know, we just have a ton of very young players. And even some of the guys who are not quite as young, you know, in terms of age, are very young in their NBA careers. And so there's just a ton of growth inherently possible. And if you're improving as a group, you're doing the right things. And that's for all teams. But it is a little bit of a luxury without that, you know, imminent pressure of, oh, I know you played better today than yesterday, but are you going to win a championship in 6 months? You know, that wears on you. That was tough. And there were reasons that, you know, there's a reason for the teams we've had. There was a reason that was always the question. But we don't have to deal with that now. And we can just, you know, we can, if we are better today than we were yesterday, we can celebrate that a little bit easier and a little bit, you know. And so I think that's part of enjoying it and having fun is I think that'll be our approach.
That was Rafael Stone, and really good information from him and what looks to be a really good class. Now, updated info that came out yesterday, Jalen Green tweaked his right hamstring, so he is out. They're going to have an MRI on that. They don't think it's anything really serious, but it is going to keep him out of the rest of, well, at least Yahoo.com reported it is expected to keep him out for the rest of Summer League. If you are keeping track of how did Jalen Green do in the Summer League, if he's out now, 19 of 37, shot over 50%. He was 10 of 19 from three, which is absolutely outstanding and gives the Rockets a lot of hope that they may have found their brand new superstar. He's young. He's going to have his ups and downs. But Jalen Green, as you could hear from Rafael Stone, there's a lot of excitement about not just Jalen Green, but the entire draft class. So thanks to Trey for cutting up that long interview that we had yesterday. And that was a little look at the Rockets rookie draft class. Right now, I want to give you another look. And that is a look at my friends over at Allstate Windows and Siding. At Allstate, I think it's very important that you know that there are a couple different things that we're talking about here. We're talking about your ability to beautify your home and give your home that facelift it so desperately needs, and that's where the siding comes in. It really can make your home look great, and it can really help your home become more energy efficient, and it's something that is going to last, unlike that dilapidated, rotting wood that you may have there now. But it doesn't stop at just siding. Allstate can also help you with your windows. And right now they have 20%, 25% off your windows, or you can buy 10 windows and they're going to give you two windows absolutely free. We're talking about high quality products and replacement windows where they'll retrofit the windows into your home and you're going to see much better energy efficiency and they're going to look great. If you've got old windows like I used to have, once you switch out those windows with Allstate, the look of your house is great, but you're going to find that the cool stays in your house better and the warm stays in your house better whenever you're dealing with inclement weather outside. Make sure that you check out their website at allstatesidingandwindows.com. They've been family run for four generations, and they are ready to serve you as well. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or connect online at allstatesidingandwindows.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening.
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Two members of The Wheelhouse, which is the new afternoon show we have, are going to join us here at 8:30. We'll visit with Cody Stutes, who's been a long time. I mean, I knew Stutes was a long time listener of me and John. He'd show up at Christmas parties. Stutes was a big 1560 guy, dressed as Santa Claus one year and was involved in the offensive line pass protection drills.
Overcame being Raheel's personal intern.
Yeah, he was Raheel's personal intern. That's right.
Valet, maybe?
He was involved in eating one of the largest hamburgers. There was some kind of eating, like, hamburger challenge. I remember that somebody had. I have to ask Stutes about that. And he's all grossed up. He's been doing radio for a little while now and was writing for Sports Illustrated as well, doing some Texan stuff. So he has some really unique insights into the Texans. He's going to be out at Texans practices. So we're going to get some really good info from him as well as the station. So excited about that. And then Jake Assman, who is a hard working guy. He was on the Sports Map side, Sports Map Radio. And he is, I see him as much as anybody at this radio station, whether I'm here on the weekdays or weekends doing draft stuff. Jake is always at practices getting tape. He's always doing different shows. So really hardworking guy. Congrats to both of those guys for this opportunity. And we'll welcome them into the station here at 8:30. So the Field of Dreams game jumped off yesterday. It was the Yankees and the White Sox. Of course, I don't really care about the game other than I want the Yankees to lose. And they did in spectacular fashion. Their hopes were all elevated because Aaron Judge hit his second homer of the night. He had two homers, including five RBIs. They were down by 3-7-4 to start the inning. Aaron Judge with a two-run homer to get him down by one, and then you have a two-run homer by Giancarlo Stanton. So then the Yankees went up one, only to be beaten by a two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth and a walk-off home run. So it was the best possible loss you could have had. I mean, you had Yankees fans get their hopes up and then dashed. It was amazing. I personally enjoyed watching the game in that stadium. I thought it was really cool that Major League Baseball did something like build a stadium in the middle of a cornfield. It had just the right amount of seating. It wasn't overly seated. You wanted to keep it quaint. You didn't want to, you know, you didn't want to do too much with it, I didn't think. And they didn't. I thought they did a nice job of keeping it's relatively small. The wooden scoreboards where they were hanging the numbers on the wooden scoreboard, the Yankees and White Sox both wore older uniforms, although the White Sox look like much older. The Yankees, I'm not sure if they were completely older uniforms or not.
They don't. When's the last time they've changed their uniforms?
You never know with the Yankees.
Yeah.
The length of the pants or how baggy the pants are, you just wouldn't know at the Yankees. White Sox, you could tell. Yeah. Those are old-time uniforms.
The Yankees uniforms in general are just old school, and so are some of the rules. We all know about, shave. Doesn't matter what you were before, what you look like before. You come here, we're going to need you to be clean-shaven. I didn't see the game live. I was watching Summer League, and obviously it got less interesting once Jalen Green got hurt. But tuned in to some preseason football, but I saw the highlights and it just brings some joy. See, I was conflicted because I was thrilled that the Yankees won, but I didn't want Tony La Russa having any fun either. So I didn't know how to feel. I like Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson's like the exact opposite person of what Tony La Russa thinks a baseball player should be, probably as far as how he celebrates. Mm-hmm. I was like, great, Tim Anderson, and then Tony La Russa won.
Put the bat down and just get around the bases.
Yeah.
You know that's how Tony plays.
Did anybody see that meme of the truck that was in the cornfield? And they're like, how Tony La Russa got to the game at the Field of Dreams Park.
No, yeah. I don't know the truck, so I didn't see it.
It's because he was arrested for drinking and driving.
Oh, so the truck was just randomly in a cornfield?
Yeah.
And that's how he got
wrecked.
I needed an explanation, but now I get it, and I enjoy it.
So if you have a thought on that game, we've got D. Green says they underplayed the cheating aspect of last night's Field of Dreams game. They had the Black Sox throwing games versus the Yankees. Steroids. Next year, Apple Watch sponsors Yankees versus Red Sox. Then GNC sponsors the Cardinals versus Cubs. Oh, I don't know who. Sammy Sosa, of course. Yeah. Maybe you get Sammy Sosa out there to throw that first pitch and Mark McGuire is the catcher and he catches it like a steroid game. Maybe you don't do Field of Dreams steroid game, maybe that one's played like you build it outside of a big ass gym, like some like big 24-hour fitness thing where you got the individual trainers that are so rocked up. Or maybe you play it at a bodybuilding contest next year. You play Cardinals, an old Cardinals Cubs throwback steroid game where you play it at one of, I know they just had some big bodybuilding event because Craig DeSurf is friends with Lee Labrada and Lee Labrada's son is participating. So whatever that is, maybe they throw that outside of that.
Can you emblazon Balco in the outfield?
Yeah, and you can do whatever you want. Yeah. Major League Baseball.
Anyway, to
celebrate it. Celebrate your history.
I think there's a bigger chance of the fan being the next baseball movie.
Don't whitewash your history. Celebrate. No, there is a better chance
than
of
the
fan.
Steroid game.
Or even breaking a kid's arm.
Yeah.
It's a better chance of breaking. What's that movie called again?
Which one? The
Breaking the Kid's Arm movie.
What is
the rookie?
It?
The Rookie? Yes, it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Okay. And then somebody else was listening and said, what's the show where the kid is the manager, but his grandpa dies?
That's Little Big League.
Okay, so this guy said, yeah, this guy, who is it? It is Tom Downtown, just says, I think it's Tom Downtown, says somebody, a grandpa has to die. No, the other Gilbert says,
wait,
what about Little Big League having an owner's grandson coach a team, but the granddad has to die? That just feels like an aggressive type of baseball
movie. I mean, he dies of natural causes.
I feel like we're missing out on the greatest baseball movie of all time.
What?
Hardball.
So you want, hold on, I was going to lean into Hardball.
I'm trying to remember what was Hardball?
Hardball features an inner city kids redeeming a, let's just say a, didn't he get a DUI?
Yeah, well, no, that's
the Mighty Ducks.
Ducks.
What did
he
Keanu?
He had a gambling debt, and he had to perform, he had to do community service because he was something with money.
So you think they should lean into Hardball, which ends with G-Baby getting shot?
Well, no, we don't. G-Baby doesn't die in this.
This is why I was gonna bring up Hardball, but it's even darker than The Fan because the kid doesn't die in The Fan. G-Baby dies in Hardball.
So we do a baseball game where someone dies.
A little kid, the favorite.
Wow.
Wow, Trey.
So I wonder how Major League Baseball is going to play that one.
So Major League Baseball,
they're not doing that one.
Major League Baseball has a problem getting to have black players. That continues to diminish fan attention from apparently the African American community. You know how we resolve that?
How
we feature a movie with inner city kids and then one of them dies at the end.
Trey, I think you got one.
I think so. You know what's funny about that movie? They're always talking about, like, buzzers and stuff for the Astros. But
yep.
That pitcher was wearing, like, headphones while he was pitching. How do we know he was listening to Biggie?
We don't.
We don't know that.
No, he absolutely could have been cheating.
It could have been Florida.
He was totally cheating.
Could have been Florida Georgia Line. We don't
know.
Yeah,
it could have been.
I don't think it was.
He hates Florida Georgia Line.
I don't think it was. Yeah, I did too. I'm with you, Trey. So the Field of Dreams game jumped off. I'm looking at the Astros. I'm looking at the Astros game today, and I'm looking at Zach Greinke. I'm breaking down what Zach Greinke is doing. The Astros have the next three are in against the Angels in California. It's against the Angels. Zach Greinke gets a start tonight. Then you have Luis Garcia, and you have Lance McCullers throwing. Zach Greinke has given up a home run since June. He's thrown 11 games since June. He's given up a home run in 10 of 11 games. Only one game did he not give up a home run. He's given up 14 home runs in that time now. Obviously, four came in one game. But during those 11 games, he also has just one game with more than four strikeouts. So Zach Greinke, I would say, when we look at the Astros moving forward, this is not a pretty good sample size. 10 of 11 games, he's given up a home run since June. One game, he has more than four strikeouts. That's who he is. They're going to hit the ball against Zach Greinke. And if he misses his locations, they're going to hit it out of the park.
The worst thing that ever happened to Zach Greinke is him following Verlander and Cole for you. Because he'll never be that guy.
No.
And you've been on this thing
but this,
since the jump.
Well,
and this is who he is. He's an older dude who ain't the same guy. But
these are not the numbers you see from a number one or even a number
two.
He's
not a number one. He's an, how old is he now?
Zach is 37 now or 36?
Yeah, Verlander is unique that he could be a number one, at 35 years old? Zach Greinke's not a number one anymore, but
he's 37 right
getting
now.
And it'll be 38 October. Late October. Getting what you're getting out of a 37-year-old Astros, I think they would be thrilled by this, right? What did they expect at 37? You expected the Zach Greinke from
but,
not you specifically, but
yeah,
what did the Astros expect for a guy that age?
No, I guess probably me specifically. I think the Astros know what they're getting with Zach Greinke. I'm just pointing out he was actually better than this in April. Like this has been in April and May, he didn't have games where he's consistently given up a home run in every game. Like just consistently, he's not able to get the swing and miss numbers that you know is typical of Astro pitchers from a strikeout standpoint. It's just pointing out that Greinke, somebody else is going to have to step up because Greinke definitely is who he is. He's not going to be any different than what he is. He's showing you this for a few months now, and somebody else is going to have to rise up. And one of those guys, frankly, is Lance McCullers. And not that he has to. He already is rising up. Lance McCullers is having a really good season this year, and here's hoping that he can keep that going this weekend. He'll be pitching on Sunday. So just a heads up. We'll get into that series a little bit more coming up, and we also need to start getting into some of the first preseason game of the year. The Texans take on the Green Bay Packers. Coming up next, though, we'll welcome a couple new members to the station. They'll be in the afternoon show called The Wheelhouse, and we'll have Jake Asman and Cody Stutes up next. It's 828 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:32. John Granato is out. It's Lance Zierlein along with Del Olale. And we are going to take you through the rest of the weekend. John will get back. Del's going to be gone because he is going to be the new producer for the Killer Bees. When I say he's going to be gone, he's not going to be gone. He's just moving to a different time slot.
I'm dead to you.
He's dead
or
to
you're
me.
Dead to me.
Without, it's mutual.
Yeah.
And that's going to take place on Monday.
Can I set some ground rules?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't talk to me.
What are you talking about?
Like, you're here all the time, and I'm going to be here from 10 to 3.
No, I'm definitely going to talk to you.
I'm going to, no, the door will be
I will
closed.
See you all the time. I'll open the door, and I'll say, hey, friend.
I have an open door policy except for you. Everyone else can open the door, but not you.
Oh, yeah? Hey, Del, you want to come to my birthday party?
What?
It's exactly
That's
like
exactly what
Trey
I
want to
do.
Say.
Yes. Trey, do you know me at all? You
think
I'm going to go to your birthday party?
Trey randomly saying, hey, Del, you want to go to my birthday party was actually a minus 500 favorite.
You're right.
It was a huge favorite today. I just didn't know when it would be said. So Del's going to go to the afternoon show. He'll be the producer for the new show, Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank doing the Killer Bees. That's the new show. Charlie Perillo still doing Charlie Perillo's show. And then we got the brand new afternoon show. We know that AJ left and so Fred is going to be doing a lot of different stuff here at the station. And the new afternoon show is going to be Brad Kellner and Cody Stutes and Jake Asman. They are going to be the Wheelhouse. And that one's going to go from 3 to 7. So a nice, robust four-hour show for the Wheelhouse.
Can I
joining
ask
us.
Yeah, a question of the two gentlemen? Uh-huh. Was the Wheelhouse a name you guys developed? Because we all know the deal. Sometimes this comes from on high. Sometimes you have input. How did the Wheelhouse come about?
It was tough. So we originally got pitched the Wheelhouse from our sports radio consultant that's helping us out here in the station. And Cody and I and Brad, we were like, all right, that's a solid name. What else could we come up with? And it's tough with three people, right? Like you guys, John and Lance, the Bench, you've had that established.
Right.
We want to do like three guys, one show, or the triple threat, or the three-headed monster. So the Wheelhouse sounded like a neutral term, and we're going to have some fun. It's kind of sportsy. It's kind of not, but it fits, we think. So we couldn't find anything to beat the Wheelhouse, so we just went with it. We're excited.
The closest we got was Fully Loaded, but there's two. I mean, people would have just thought we were nachos.
Well, gotcha. Granato wouldn't have. Granato would have thought, oh, tons of drinks.
Yeah, well, there's different connotations.
Yeah, there's different connotations. Yeah. Fully Loaded's not bad, though. That's a pretty good one, too. If it's not too late, we can change all the imaging before Monday. If y'all
sure,
want.
Michael Carroll would appreciate
it. I wouldn't do that to the hardest working man in this building, Michael Carroll.
Yeah. So So give me so Cody, you, Jake, I see all the time up here. I told people one of the hardest working guys at the station, collects sound for the radio station at different practices, and has been doing that, did that for quite a while here, has been hosting multiple shows, at least it seems like it, because I see you multiple times throughout the week.
I see you filling in for Charlie or for Joel in the past, and you know, crosstalk as we're, you're leaving, I'm coming in.
That's true. So you've been here. Stooch, you were here, and then the COVID got you for a little bit in terms of COVID didn't get you.
They didn't get me, no.
But it was just the
still here, it's not
like
a
financial situation. And then you show up at Sports Illustrated.
Correct.
And you had some great stuff over there at SI. You're writing about the Houston Texans. You had some good, very good Texan stuff. And then this opportunity came about for you again.
Sure, yeah. I was over at SI for a little while, and I was with Outkick for a minute.
Yeah, Outkick as
stuff
well.
With them, and then this popped up, and I basically just reached out to David, and it just bothered him until this opportunity popped up, and he couldn't say no, so it worked out great.
So how do you guys see your show progressing? Like, what do you, and I know that you're the third member of the show is not in here. Brad comes from Austin, I believe.
Correct.
Right?
He was doing afternoons there.
I've seen a lot of good stuff on Brad Kellner. I've seen people from Austin who are big fans of his. I don't know him that well. How have you guys got a chance to know him? Like, you're trying to build a chemistry. You guys know each other, but how are you going to build? Like, have y'all talked about? Do you have a good feel for him as a host at all?
He's going to be the funny guy. I think he's going to be the funny. He's had us just rolling, just one-liners or funny stories or this or that. Very, like, understated, like, kind of dry, but funny dude. He's going to be the funny guy.
Yeah, none of us take ourselves very seriously. We take the job seriously, of course, but not ourselves. So the show's going to be, you know, as Cody would say, we'll pass the airport test, right? If you're just landing in Houston and you turn on sports radio and you put on our show, it's going to sound like we're talking about the topics that people in the city care about the most.
Okay. I've never heard of that before, the airport test.
The airport test. You land, you get in the Uber, you get 30, 45 minutes, you'll get everything you need in those 30, 45 minutes.
Because that's true. You do a lot of times want to check in and see what the local – I do that from time to time. If I get a rental car, I want to see what the sports station sounds like wherever I am, wherever I land. So that's pretty good. So the background of how do you guys see your show playing out? What is your show? You talked about it's going to be sports and other stuff. What can people expect to hear from you guys from day one?
We're going to cover what the Houston sports fans are talking about. So if you want to talk Texans, we're talking Texans. Astros, Rockets, I mean, we're going to have you covered. We're going to have huge names, big guests that are going to weigh in on not the national stories that you don't care about. They're going to weigh in on your teams. You know, we got Adam Schefter ready for Monday right off the bat, 4:30. And so Adam Schefter is going to give us the absolute minute-by-minute latest on what Deshaun Watson's situation is. You know, so we're going to talk to the biggest names. We're going to talk about your teams. And there are teams. I mean, you've known me for all this time. I grew up in this city. These are my teams, too. I've lived and died with these teams like everybody. Jake and Brad are familiar with these teams. Jake's covered these teams for 3-4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brad was born here. And he's familiar with these teams, having worked in Austin to cover the teams too. So we're going to talk about Houston sports, and we're going to have fun doing it.
Jake, we're in an interesting spot here because this has been a team with Deshaun Watson, with James Harden, with the Astros winning World Series and then competing for another one since you've been here at the station and in the city. And now Astros still, you know, top of the food chain right now in terms of probably fan excitement and fan interest. But it is interesting that you guys get to start with a not super exciting Texans team, but the rebuild will be exciting. We do have a rebuild on the Rockets, and so when you guys start, the first time you start talking about the Rockets, it doesn't have James Harden, but there is excitement because of Jalen Green and potentially Alperen Sengun and Josh Christopher and just what the next iteration of the Rockets is going to look like. So you guys are getting a fresh start with both the Texans and with the Rockets, which is, it's not like topics are already falling into your lap, but you do have a decent canvas on which to paint.
Think about it like this with the Texans, right? A lot of people think, all right, this team's going to be the worst in the league. Okay, well, if you're the worst team in the league, you have the first pick in the draft. You're probably going quarterback at that point. The amount of different opinions and things you could do with a team that's interested in taking a quarterback at the top of the draft, that's what makes sports radio so much fun. Then you also factor in, at some point here, I think we all expect, Deshaun Watson will be traded. So then you get all these picks. Well, what can Nick Caserio do with all these picks? He could trade some of those picks, get even more picks, a la what the Dolphins did after the Tunsil trade. Look at their, you know, future amount of picks now. So the Texans might not be very good this season, but I'll tell you what, 4 or 5 months from now, they're going to be the most interesting team in the offseason.
Yeah, they really could, especially if Deshaun Watson's on the trade block, if they hold out all the way until the offseason. That's going to be a topic. Then what they get in return is going to be a topic. Then the draft picks and who the draft is going to be. Like, the Texans, the draft, I write about the draft, so that's a whole second job for me. And it sucks because the team that I cover, they have been non-factors in the draft for two straight years, like complete and total non-factors. Even the first year, I mean, and even in 2019, the first pick was, I mean, it's not sexy. You're at the back end of the first, and you're getting Tytus Howard from a small school. So that wasn't even a sexy pick.
Well, it's very fun to watch what the Rockets did, where Daryl Morey basically didn't, you know, the draft's not really what we're doing, not what we're focusing on. The Rockets go, they make all these picks, they get this exciting young guy, they get these other assets. And, like, the Texans may be able to do the exact same thing in the upcoming draft, too, so you kind of get those two teams sort of falling through, whereas the previous regime didn't care a ton about the draft, or certainly the early part, and now this new regime's going to care a ton and going to have to care a ton if they're picking near the top. And we'll be living in Lance's office in the offseason, like, hey, what about this guy? Hey, what about this guy?
Look at the measurables. I don't know. I'm sure most of the listeners have never seen your office. Yeah. It's one of my favorite parts of this whole building because you have, like, it is.
If same, Dell. Same with me.
You're a draft fan.
If people didn't think me and Jake were opposites before.
You're a draft junkie. When you go in there and you see all the, like, the measurements you're looking for and the different grading scales for how these guys are decided, like what round they're supposed to be going.
You got whiteboards in there and stuff like that.
If you're a football junkie, just go to Lance's office when he's not there.
No, you're not. None of you are invited. I'm just letting you know right now, none of you are invited. Trey is one of my bodyguards. He will make sure that everything stays kosher. So I'll throw a little sports topic at you right now. I just talked about Zach Greinke has given up home runs in 10 of his last 11 games. Since June, he's pitched 11 times. 10 times he's given up home runs. One time he has more than 4 strikeouts in a game. He's given up 14 homers in that time frame. He's not a guy who's a number one. Fromber does not look like a number one anymore. He's still got good stuff, but just putting way too many men on base through walks. How do you guys, for a long time we talked about the bullpen was the issue with the Astros. How do you guys envision the rotation right now as you march toward the playoffs?
It's weird because if you asked me like a month ago, I would have known like exactly who my playoff 1, 2, 3 is. And now I have no idea. Hopefully you need Lance to go out there and just shove for one of those games. Mm-hmm. But are you going to get that 4 1/3 Lance McCullers start in a key spot? If this team doesn't get 2020 Fromber, I don't know that the World Series aspirations are as high as we think they can be. I mean, 2020 Fromber was what we saw last year from
him. Lights out, man.
And what we expected this year, they're totally, you know, the expectations were high. What we've gotten is totally different. So if 2020 Fromber doesn't show up at some point, this is going to be really rough to see how this team's going to go super deep into the playoffs.
They're going to have the hit. Obviously, getting Bregman back will be helpful going at full strength. But this team is built on their offense, right? They fixed the bullpen, I think, for the most part, you know, at the deadline. You give Click a lot of credit for the moves he made. But this is not the 2019 team. This is not the team even in 2017. You know, that 2019 team, I would argue, was even better than the 2017 team. They didn't win the World Series, but when you're talking about a rotation that has, you know, Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander having Cy Young seasons, and then you follow that up with Greinke and McCullers. Well, actually, McCullers was coming off the injury that year, but you get the point. They were stacked at the top. It's just a different feel for the team, but they could hit, and they put the ball in play. And in a league where so many teams strike out, you know, the Astros do something in the playoffs that I think wins. You put the ball in play, and good things happen. And I'm pretty sure last I checked, still lead the league in like contact percentage.
Oh yeah, I mean they're not going to strike out a whole lot. They're going to be able to hit with power. I just, you know, for me as someone who, well, all of us, I mean, we've covered the Astros closely. It's really going to be interesting to see how things finalize, because like you mentioned, Stutes, it's, by the way, Jake Aspen, Cody Stutes, the two of the three new members of the Wheelhouse, the new afternoon show that premieres on Monday from 3 to 7. How this team decides to line up 1 through 4, really 1 through 3, but 1 through 4 in their rotation, that is completely up in the air to me right now. I mean, I would have said, okay, for sure Fromber, I'm guessing Zach Greinke, maybe McCullers, maybe Urquidy. Well, Urquidy's been out for a while now. McCullers is pitching like the best pitcher on the staff right now. Greinke is kind of Greinke. And Fromber, he can have no-hit stuff but may end up putting 5 guys on base with walks. So I think how they end up going 1 through 4 and who gets hot at the end of the year or who is consistent at the end of the year is really going to determine whether or not – I'm kind of with you. The World Series aspirations, they're real, but at the same time, when you think about who you're going to have to face in the future from a pitching standpoint with the opposition, and you think how you're going to match up with them, you do have the bats so that you always have that, you know, more than a puncher's chance. You do have a chance to rattle any starting pitching out there. But are you able, do you have enough in the bullpen, and do you have enough from your starting rotation being consistent? Because Garcia has been a little bit more up and down now than he was early in the season.
One game to win, who are you pitching? Because here's the other thing, too.
Yeah, who is your one game to win?
Right now, probably Lance, the way he's pitched lately.
Same.
You know, I would go with him. But here's the thing. They're only two games up in the division.
2 weeks
right
ago,
now.
You probably would have said somebody else.
Yeah, and so who's pitching well at the end of the year? And if they don't win the American League West and you're in a one-game wild card scenario, then you're actually thinking, all right, well, who is going in that one game, either against the A's or not the A's, either against, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays? Right now, you got in the wild card scenario, you got four teams for two spots, but Oakland is quickly moving in on the Astros. They won seven games in a row and put up a bazillion runs yesterday.
Do you guys really legitimately, right now, I'm pulling up the latest. Right now, they are 1.5 behind, as you mentioned, and then you got the Mariners are so far out, it's not going to matter. But do you legitimately think the Astros could lose the division? I just don't see that happening to the A's. I don't feel like the A's are going to be able to sustain. I know they're hot right now. I just don't know if the A's can sustain from this point forward.
As Polillo would say, they're like a cockroach that you can't just kill off.
This feels a lot like, you know, when a basketball team gets a big lead and then the other team like cuts it down and then they just run out of juice there at the end, and the team that had the big lead just eventually takes care of it.
That's kind of what I feel like.
That's what it feels like to me. Like, this is the big run to cut down on that
and
big lead.
And eventually you spend so much energy trying to get up that hill that you have a little fall, and I think that's what's going to happen to the A's.
The scary part, though, is those final, what, nine games or so, where you've got so many games against the A's, division opponents, and things like that. And so it's, you'd like to have them out of commission and not have a chance to catch you for the division, because you don't want to end up playing a ton of really tough games those final six, nine games, and then have to go and play that one-game playoff or have to go into the playoffs having, you know, had those intense games. Like, you'd like to kind of maybe ease out of the regular season into the playoffs. So you'd love to take care of Oakland before that final 2 weeks or so.
Well, guys, I know you got a busy Monday, and I'm sure you'll be continue to plan all throughout the weekend. So looking forward to hearing your first show.
Facebook Live, ESPN 975 Facebook, today at noon. All three of us on there, whatever you need to know.
Oh, Facebook Live, good. ESPN's Facebook page, ESPN which is a ton of people. Yeah, like
125,000 people on there.
Ton of subscribers. They do a great job. Josh and Brandon do a great job of pushing content, Jack, of pushing content out on there. So, good. So, we'll be able to check that out at noon today.
Yep.
Okay, great. And for those of you listening on the West Coast, that's 10 o'clock Pacific time. For our West Coast listeners.
Do you believe you have to explain that to people still?
No, I don't think. Is there any West Coast listeners?
No, I mean, even if they were, do you think they don't get time differences?
Sometimes I like to just let people know. You never get tricked into time differences?
I'm not like you. No,
yeah, sometimes things can get confusing.
I'm an adult. I figure it out. It does.
Sometimes I'm in Mountain Time. Sometimes I'm in Eastern Dell. I like to traverse across time zones.
You got to Google it sometime.
Yeah, sometimes you have to Google it.
Never.
He's right. I deal with this company in Sweden right now. They're 7 hours ahead, Dell.
Do the math?
Yeah.
It's 2 hours. It's not math.
It's not as easy as you think.
He didn't give Mountain Time. It's about California. It's an easy figure.
You're from California.
It's 2 hours. It's not that hard.
I was going to start this. I didn't think it would even turn into this.
I'm just amazed.
In passing.
Yeah.
It turned into you and Trey going at each other a little bit. I like it. Keep you off my ass.
Don't worry. We got a couple hours.
All right. So we got a couple more hours to go. We're gonna bounce and get back to work here. But we appreciate it. Jake Assman, Cody Stutes, and Brad Kellner. That is your brand new show, The Wheelhouse, beginning on Monday, the 16th, from 3 to 7. And don't forget Facebook Live. They're going to have a little intro show going for you at noon. So make sure you check in on our ESPN Facebook page. Guys, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Lance, thank you. Dell, thank you. Looking forward to working with you guys.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What food is this? Houston Restaurant Week.
Baja Sur Fresh Mex and Tequila Bar.
I need some. You know what, man? We need somebody to bring some food up here, bro.
It's our last show.
I know.
Right.
Hey, like for real, if y'all want to come say bye to Dell,
I'm
going to allow you to do it.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, but kind of. So if you want to say bye to Dell, listen, just bring food up here, and that's how you get in the door.
Yeah, we don't really care what
you
have to
say. You say bye to Dell, he leaves, and he takes on a new opportunity in a different market.
I know.
Bring him food now, and bring me food.
People will text.
Bring me food.
And bring Trey food.
Yeah, bring everyone
food. You ever wanted to see Juggalo Trey? This is your chance.
There's a real shot.
The hair's cut, so it's not the same.
It's not the same, but it's still Trey. You can still hear the voice. I mean, I'm not actually leaving, but I would like food.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be coming in later. Like, tell the truth. When you got the news, were you sad or were you like, look, sleep later?
I brought.
And you're doing
the college football
show. College football
starting show. The fourth on Saturday.
It's called
nights.
The Crunch.
We don't know
what
the it's
Crunch
called.
With Del
I like
Ole.
It.
No,
you like it? That's what we're doing. We're branding it the
name.
Crunch today.
You're making that up. I had some names. I was like four verticals. Two. I don't know. We got.
What about no huddle?
It's decent.
We're trying to figure
what else.
No huddle.
That's kind of
yeah. What about no
that.
Huddle?
It's not bad, but a lot of people have that.
What about
The 2 minute drill?
Yeah.
What about that, Del?
It could only be 2 minutes though.
What about something called up tempo?
Up tempo, and that's it.
Yeah.
How about the West Coast offense?
But we're not speaking only to the West Coast.
What about the blitz? That's you get a football name.
How about the prevent?
I was going to go cloud coverage. You want to go
that's
cover
pretty,
four?
That's pretty specific. Ooh, cover four?
Yeah.
What about, 'cause
you're covering four time zones.
Yeah.
What
and,
about?
And we know how difficult that is to figure out.
What about Crush 2?
Crush 2?
I don't know.
What is that?
It doesn't make any sense, Trey.
Yeah.
What about Red Dog? It's a very specific type of zone blitz.
Understood.
Or Blue Dog, yeah.
What about Red Right 88?
I'm sure at some point the people on high will just call it College Football Tonight or the Football Tonight. Just something like it'll be pretty generic.
The mesh concept. The zone read. Yeah, Trey, let's keep
the
working
RPO.
On these. Yeah, we'll keep spitballing some
I
ideas
like
for your
RPO
new show.
The best. Mm.
It's yours, so I imagine you would. But yeah, I will be joining the Charlie Polillo show full time. I've been doing that show for the last week.
But
and
not
half,
just
two
that show.
Anyway. Oh, I got to acknowledge the Killer Bees?
Yeah.
Why are you doing you're that doing... to the Killer Bees?
I know. You
I
see
think,
that?
Because I think
what a team guy he
because
is,
I think
Trey.
Joel's listening. That's why I did it that way.
Oh, okay. Well,
so you're gonna have. Sense. So you're doing both those shows.
Yes, I'm doing Charlie Polillo show
and you are
going to
sleep in later.
Yeah, I mean, your original question before we got sidetracked.
I'd love to see you come in when me and John are just to get a quick early start on the day, so we see you throughout the show.
No, I'm good. Now the original question before we got sidetracked with names for the college football show was. What did I feel like when I walked in there and they told me the news of I would no longer be on the show? First, I was like, oh, that's interesting because, you know, I worked on the bench for quite a bit. And then I thought to myself, oh, I get to sleep in? And by in,
oh, I knew that
like 7:30, 8 o'clock. And I'm like, yeah, that's good news.
I knew
good.
That would be
it's the best part.
Big hit for you.
The college football thing, great. I get to do that. That'll be fun. But not having to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I love it.
Prioritizing sleep is kind of cool. Did you hear? I'm watching a video right now. This is from August 6th, and it says, my grandpa, Tyreek Hill, racing strangers for $1,000.
Who's grandpa's Tyreek Hill?
Well, I guess they dressed Tyreek Hill
as an old man?
As an old man.
Like the Uncle Drew stuff?
Yeah. And so I'm going to end up watching this, but one of my kids came to me yesterday and said, Dad, did you hear? Snacks came in. He goes, did you hear what is happening between Tyreek Hill and Usain Bolt? I'm like, no, what? They got a bet. If they're going to race a 70-yard race, and if Usain Bolt wins, he gets Tyreek's Super Bowl ring, and if Tyreek wins, he gets Usain's gold medal. Have you heard this?
I didn't know that was what was up for grabs.
Stakes are too high for that one.
Stakes are way too high. You don't want to give up a gold medal or a Super Bowl ring. Stakes are way too high for
maybe
that.
Maybe you could steal
do
one.
Do you think
the
that will happen, though?
Because
I'm trying to handicap that race. And you know what? At first, I'm like, it's all you. It's Usain Bolt's next. It's not going to be.
You would think.
And the more, and that's why they're doing 70 yards instead of 50. But you know what? I went back and watched. That whole conversation got me into a YouTube rabbit hole where I went and watched every one of Usain Bolt's Olympic races. Now, they showed all of his, and he was winning nothing but gold medals, 100, 200, 4x100, gold medals across the board, 2008, 2012, 2016. We're 5 years removed from him being an Olympian, and they showed him in 2004, when he was 17 years old, he finished like fifth, wasn't nearly as fast in the 200 meters. But the more I think about it, I like Tyreek Hill. Tyreek's in his 20s. Usain Bolt's got to be close to, I don't know, how old? Late 30s? Maybe like 35. I may be
30s, right?
Overdating him here.
Is he that old?
He is 34.
Yeah.
He's 34. 30. So Usain Bolt's 34. He's 5 years out from Olympic competition, at least.
And you lose speed as you get older?
Yeah, you lose speed when you get older. Tyreek is in his prime from a speed standpoint. It's 70 yards, so I get the fact that Usain Bolt, it gives him a chance to catch up a little bit. I actually think if this race jumps off, I think Tyreek Hill will win.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Usain Bolt the quick starter or the finishing kick? What's his strength? Maybe it's
the finishing kick has always been his strength.
So
he's 6'5". Yeah. It's never going to be the start. Although when he gets a good start, ran in a 10.5.
Yeah, forget about it. So that's the question. 70 yards is that enough for Tyreek to, you know, is that cutting it down from 100? That those 30 yards, is that the difference where Tyreek can kind of hold off Usain Bolt? Because I imagine Tyreek will get off to the better start. And then you had the 7 years age difference, being out of competition mode for that long. I think if I'm Usain Bolt, I sell this like I'm going to do it, but I don't do it. What do you have to gain by losing to Tyreek Hill? You got everything to lose. I'm not racing Tyreek Hill.
I'm not racing him. You're known as the fastest person who's ever lived.
Yeah, you don't.
No,
want
you don't need this.
Yeah,
you know, you definitely don't need to get smoked by an NFL wide receiver. I mean, he is going to be damn near a decade younger than you. Or actually, it's more like
7 years.
Yeah, it's not as much as I thought because I think he was a little older when he got out of or was drafted, Tyreek Hill. But well, I guess he was drafted in 16, so he's been around for 5 years.
Yeah,
so I would make Tyreek Hill a small favorite. I may be way, 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 way wrong, but there's no chance that Usain Bolt is keeping up with his fitness level for a sprint like that. He'd have to get ready for it. And you're not doing gold medal versus Super Bowl ring.
That's insane.
And if you do and you're Tyreek Hill and he takes your Super Bowl ring, oh, my God.
Yeah, and Trey, I don't think he could steal a practice squad because they have their names on him.
Oh, right.
So he would know that it's not Tyreek Hill's ring. If Tyreek Hill, I get Tyreek Hill doing it. I think if you're going to do it, just make it a, I don't know. I'm sure they both got a lot of money. Make it a money bet or something. Or
charity.
Like, or maybe you buy a giant man bag with money in it like Harden does for his friends. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. When we come back. By the way, speaking of giant bags of money, John Wall is trending on Twitter. We'll tell you why when we come back.
It's not great.
It has to do with his money. We'll tell you in a second. If you thought I thought John Wall was bought out this morning because he was trending and the numbers were shooting up, and that's not it.
John Wall ain't letting you buy him out. Why? Well,
that's not out.
Why would you do that?
That's not it. John Wall is trending, though, and we'll tell you exactly why when we come back. Right now, I want to tell you about Texas Custom Patios and how easy it is. The consultation itself, you can set that up online. They'll come out to your home. They'll look at your space. They'll visit with you. I went through all this before I ever even had them on as an advertiser. I'm the one that asked them to start advertising because I thought so highly of the product, the people, the value that it adds to homes, and I wanted to tell you guys about it, and I have been for a few years now. Texas Custom Patios, Stephen Schell told me what the deal was. He said, you'll wait a couple months, and you'll try to decide, and then, or maybe even a couple weeks, depending. He said, and then you're going to come back, and then you're going to say, yes, I want to do it. Everything he said ended up coming true. They tell you what the cost is going to be. They never raise it, no matter what needs to be. They had some corrections they had to do because that kind of stuff pops up. That is something that they cover. They cover the expense of that. You don't have to pay more than what they quote ever. Now, if you want to add something on in the middle of it, like I ended up adding on some new windows, so that was an added cost that I wanted to add on. But remember, they're going to beautify the entire backyard. So gutter stuff, And all of the issues with if you have drainage issues, they have a drainage guy who comes out there. They can do the landscaping stuff. But the main thing is they build a patio that is phenomenal. Go look at their work at TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.